Cecilia DeMarctos, en route to the Guerny Republic with Miranda Meager Thornbuckle, ignored the warnings about the mutiny with her usual blithe assumption that no one would interfere with her. She registered her flight plan with the nearest fleet headquarters so as not to be mistaken for a pirate or foreign spy, but refused their advice to take passage on a commercial liner.
"The mutineers aren't going to bother with two old women on a tiny little ship like Pounce."
"But they might, and you're helpless if they do."
"I think the risk of traveling on a large commercial liner with hundreds of other potential hostages is much greater."
Cecilia had not told them her passenger's identity. Miranda would make a fine hostage, but she didn't intend to become one.
"I can't stop you. I can only advise you very strongly."
"Not to do it. Yes, I understand. Still, it's my old bones, and I never expected to live this long anyway."
Miranda waited until they'd undocked and were well on the outbound leg before she commented.
"And you think Brunn got a reckless attitude from me?"
"She's not my daughter."
Cecilia had all the automatic devices available for such ships, but jump insertion was still tricky. Her course would, she hoped, take her safely past all the probable trouble zones in a series of linked jumps, popping them back into real space on the Guernsey border.
"People tried to warn Brunn, and she ended up a prisoner."
"That was different."
Cecilia had the uneasy feeling that it wasn't that different, but she also knew there would be no way to conceal Miranda's identity if they took a commercial ship. Especially in the current political crisis, such ships demanded positive identification, and someone would be sure to tip off the news vids. As far as anyone outside the immediate family knew, Miranda was still on Cerealis. Cecilia had been regretting her bright idea for some days now. Miranda, though perfectly sane in her behavior, was not the travel companion she would have chosen for such tight quarters. Miranda belonged in a suite with room for a maid, not in Pounce's narrow passage and meager compartments. They couldn't pass each other without bumping hips. Worse, she could not forget the sight of Miranda's lunge at Pater, that instant's motion she'd seen before the man collapsed. It had taken an act of will not to remove every sharp object from the little ship's tiny galley, but no act of will could keep her from having nightmares. She had willingly locked herself up alone with a murderer. But Miranda wouldn't kill her. She had done nothing to Miranda or her children. Of course, she was the only person to whom Miranda had confessed.
"I don't suppose you'll ever tell me where Brunn's children are."
"I thought you didn't want to know."
"I'd like to know if you're sure they're safe."
"Yes, absolutely certain. They're with families who love them. They have family names to grow into. The last time I saw them, they were healthy and happy."
"That's good. I thought, after you'd gone, that perhaps we should have asked around Brunn's friends. Someone like Rafa, for instance, might have been able to place them."
Cecilia clamped her teeth together and hoped her face had betrayed nothing.
"Rafa has her own life now. I very much doubt..."
"You're right. I was forgetting. I'm so used to having her around to help Brunn, but she's married Ronnie and they're off pioneering someplace, aren't they?"
"Berenice is still quite annoyed with Ronnie about that. She didn't mind his marrying Rafaela, but she did not approve of their decision to emigrate."
If Cecilia could keep the conversation on Ronnie's mother's feelings, that might be safe ground.
"I know he's your nephew, Cecilia, but he did always seem a bit more flighty than our boys."
"According to his mother, he's not flighty now." "The last word she had was a message cube with a video of him and Rafaela, both of them sunburnt and dirty, grinning like idiots, is how she put it."
"Any grandchildren yet?"
Cecilia chose to interpret that the way her sister would have.
"No, and she's not pleased about that either. Apparently, she and Rafaela's mother have had a set-to about it, because Rafaela's brother and Penelope Price Lyndhurst just had a baby. Berenice is claiming it's not fair. Luckily, I wasn't there, but apparently it rattled the teacups."
"Berenice is so unlike you."
"So I've heard all my life. I keep trying, but we are never going to get along."
Cecilia leaned back in her seat. Maybe it wasn't going to be so bad. If they could talk about other people's children the whole trip, it would be boring but safe. She hoped Miranda would have the sense to keep off politics. Day by day, through the sequence of jump points, they worked their way across familiar space. Miranda proved capable of producing edible meals from the small galley and spent quite a bit of time in her compartment. Cecilia's nightmares ceased. She no longer tensed up when Miranda came up behind her when she was in the pilot's seat. She did occasionally wonder what was going on in the world outside, how far the mutiny had progressed, where Harris Serrano was, but that was someone else's problem. She had enough to do, keeping Pounce on course. Cecilia and Miranda were just sitting down to mugs of soup when the down jump transition occurred, 6 hours ahead of schedule. The ship quivered like a horse shaking off flies and then lurched abruptly. Hot soup landed in Cecilia's lap.
Malfunction. Proximity alarm. Excessive flux. Pilot overmind.
She jumped up and staggered into the cabinet as the ship lurched again. Cecilia groped for an ice pack for her scalded leg. Clutching the ice bag to her leg, Cecilia edged carefully along, one hand on a grab bar or other handhold, until she was back in the pilot's seat.
What did I do wrong?
She'd checked and rechecked the charts. She should have been safely distant from any large mass. All the jump points she'd entered were green-coded, safe and stable. Half her control panel telltales glowed red. Jump drive down, in-system drive down, shields down. Cecilia cut the power to emergency level. The lights dimmed. Then she made herself go through the checklist, ignoring the red lights unless they were on it. First was hull integrity, still green. Then atmosphere, still green. She knew that already. She was alive and conscious, so there had to be air. Then environmental systems, yellow. She hesitated, but the protocol said keep going. She keyed it to the shortlist and went on. When she'd worked her way through to the reds, drives, shields, long scan, the minimal weapons she carried, she came back to the yellows.
What's the score?
We've got an intact hull, something to breathe, and some damage to environmental. Yes, correctable. I need to reset the trays and a filter's come loose. Otherwise, we're not going anywhere real soon.
Except they were, at their exit velocity, which was faster than she'd have chosen. But she'd deal with that later.
What happened?
I don't know yet.
Cecilia took the yellow list and headed back to deal with what could be fixed quickly and easily. Item after item returned to green status. They weren't leaking air. Internal power was adequate for all uses at present. All environmental systems were functioning correctly. The reds were beyond her capability, beyond anyone's in such a small ship. Even if she'd known how to fix the drives, she couldn't have accessed them. She came back to the pilot's compartment and shook her head at Miranda.
Now, I have to figure out where we are and how fast we're moving. We're purely ballistic at this point.
And what happened?
Yeah, and what happened, if I can. You never got any spacecraft ratings, did you?
No. I have atmospheric licenses for flitters and helos, but not spacecraft.
Well, while I'm working on position and course, suppose you take a look at this.
Cecilia took a hard copy manual out of the bin under her seat.
I don't want to use more power than necessary.
I see. Then you'd like me to go shut down the galley, I suppose?
Yes, if the shift to emergency didn't cut it off automatically.
She couldn't remember at the moment whether it would or not. Cecilia opened the cover of the emergency position locator system and read the instructions graved on the inside of the cover. Supposedly, this system, with its own internal power pack, could place them accurately anywhere in Familia space. She hoped they were still in Familia space. The EPLS, designed for emergency use, had only a short list of instructions. Cecilia entered their previous course data, the last jump point they should have passed, and waited for something to come up on the screen. Waiting for calculations in glowing red letters. She stared at it for a long moment, then became aware of the pain in her leg.
The burn.
She'd dropped the ice pack somewhere while attending to the loose filter fitting.
Miranda!
Yes?
See if you can find the ice pack. I put it down while I was working back near the berths. Make sure I didn't leave it to melt somewhere troublesome.
Right.
The steady red glow didn't change. Cecilia had no idea how long the calculations would take, if the device worked at all. She pulled the damp fabric of her slacks away from the painful spot on her leg. She didn't want to leave the bridge. Looking around, she remembered that she hadn't tried retrieving the automatic log. With one eye on waiting for calculations, Cecilia tried to read the automatic log. At first, it made no sense. Then she remembered that she needed to convert it to a text function. The jumble of symbols sorted themselves out into a sketchy journal. There was jump point RVD 45.7, and then elapsed time 28.52 standard hours, jump point TVD 31.8. 2 standard hours later, 2.13 actually, they had passed within the E-radius of a mass sufficient to cause jump downshift. All Cecilia really knew about E-radii and masses was that the bigger the mass, the bigger the E-radius that must be avoided. Usually, this was a problem only in insertion and exit, when someone wasn't using mapped points. In a ship the size of hers, it shouldn't be a problem, unless she actually ran headlong into something. But she had used mapped points, and a standard green-scored route. No one else had run into trouble on this route, and once in jump, the very indeterminacy of position was supposed to make it safe. The mass that they had passed too near wasn't even moonlet-sized, let alone planet-sized.